Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Actually, Mark Holland in for Lynette this week. She will return next week to sit with these folks. We have Dr. Mixon in studio, Dr. Umat, and also Dr. Brazel with us today. And just before we went on the top of the hour break, we had Jane in Mount Vernon asking questions about AFib. You still there, Jane? Jane, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and I think they're going to try and answer some of your questions there.
Go ahead.
So, Jerry, she said she was diagnosed with AFib and that she was wanting to know about ablation.
Oh, yes. Ablation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, people that are in chronic atrial fibrillation and don't tolerate the conversion well, you know, you can have the cardioversion, and some people, they do it once and they're out and they're fine. Other people keep going back into atrial fib. And you know, the more conservative way has been to treat them with anticoagulants so they didn't have a stroke and just let them live with it. Turns out that doesn't work so well for many older people because atrial fibrillation decreases your cardiac output, your ability to pump blood, by anywhere from 15 to 25%. Now, young people have lots of cardiac reserve. Older people are pumping just enough blood to do the job to start with. And when we decrease their output by 15-20%, they get tired and lethargic and they're fuzzy-headed and they're just not pumping enough blood to their body. So the ablation is a method to go in and from inside the heart, they go in through the blood return from the veins and in the atria, the upper area of the heart where you actually set your rhythm, they use a cutting loop to basically shell off stripes, almost a checkerboard pattern inside the atrium and disrupt the electronic tracks that allow that fibrillation to take place. So it forces your heart out of atrial fibrillation. The result usually is that your heart rate stabilizes and you pump blood more effectively and you do just fine. It is a surgical procedure. It's one with very low risk, but it is nothing done by two or by human beings is perfect. And so there are always remote risk of complications. And the frustrating part is it works most of the time. But sometimes it fails. Sometimes you get people that you've done what looks like a perfectly good ablation and they should do fine, but they don't. Somehow the heart manages to work around it and go back into fibrillation anyway. And now you're faced with a choice. Do we suppress them with drugs chronically or do we put in a Watchman device? The Watchman device is one that used to be used just with failed ablations, but now some people are getting it done instead of an ablation. And it's just a device that you put into the left atrial appendage, right, the area where the clots normally form, and it basically inflates and fills up that appendage so that you can't form the clots anymore. And with that, you don't need to use the anticoagulants, and even if you're in atrial fibrillation, you're not going to stroke. And so it's a very, very nice device for the appropriate person. The downside is you're still in atrial fib, and that means you still don't have as much cardiac output as we'd love you to have as the years go by. So it's a, I think, kind of a second best, but the ablation works for the vast majority of people, and it works pretty darn well. Does that answer your question?
That helps a lot. I was leery of it to begin with just because of anesthetic. I'm 79 now. And, you know, I was concerned about that. But then the electrophysiologist also said, well, if I wait, then I'm a year older or whenever, you know. And I thought, well, that's true as well. And in the meantime, I did. I had a friend that just had it last week done. He's in his mid-60s, and everything went well. But, you know, as you say, any kind of surgery, you know, is a concern. But I just wondered, and I do actually, I was able to get an appointment with Dr. Maiden this next week. At first, they couldn't get me until October, but when I called and talked to the nurse, she said, yeah, you need to be seen. I've seen him for a number of years, but I don't live in that area now, and I want to get his opinion as well before I have anything done either down there or up here where I live. Your explanation helps. I did wonder about the Watchman too. I have a friend that has that, so I didn't know exactly how that worked. So thank you very much.
The other thing,
I have one more question. My left foot also up into the ankle is swelling some now, especially in this hot weather, and I was concerned about that as well. Do you have any...
Is it painful or is it just swelling?
No, it's just swelling and just feels tight.
Okay. And it's just the left foot, not the right foot? And does it go above your ankle or does it just in the foot?
Just around, up to around the ankle.
Okay. But with no pain and no tenderness if you touch it anywhere...
No.
Okay, so we're probably not working with the thrombophlebitis. That's the good news. When I get swelling on just one foot or leg, I worry about blood clots in the veins. But those should give you pain. So it sounds like you're not tolerating the hot weather as well as you otherwise would.
She'll certainly ask at Dr. Maiden's office if they could look at it while she's there.
And I'm sure
yes, I thought I would mention that. And during the pandemic, both of my feet, I noticed, were swelling some. And I thought, okay, I'm sitting around too much. I'm not doing anything. And so I started trying to be more active. And that, it cleared up. But this is just over the last few weeks has started, and it's and it does seem to be worse since the weather's been hot, and it's only in the left foot. So I wondered, and I am on Eliquis because of the AFib. So I'd like to get off of. I'd like to get off of that as well. And if I have the ablation, it sounds like eventually I might be able to come off of that.
That's the hope. That is the hope.
Yes.
If the ablation does well, it might take you off everything else. So go see Dr. Maiden. You've picked my favorite cardiologist.
Yes, I know. I had been recommended to him a number of years ago when I lived down in the area closer down that way. And so I've seen him about once a year. And fortunately, this was my yearly time, so I'm happy I could get in before I made a decision. I wanted to talk to him. Thank you so much. I appreciate all your information.
Thank you, Jane.
Take care, my
Thank you, Jane. And that opens up a line for you if you're listening today, 206-644-6006. Let's move on to Jack in Federal Way. Jack, you have a question about your pulse rate. What's up, Jack?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I enjoy your program very much and listen to you quite regularly.
Well, thank you.
And hopefully you can give me some information on this. At this point, it's probably after the fact, but on the 24th of July, I was diagnosed with needing a pacemaker suddenly, out of the blue. I've been normally healthy. I'm a male of 88 years and been in good health. I'm working 3 days a week. And at any rate, and what happened was my pulse rate was down to about half of normal. It was down between 30 and 40 and had been that way apparently. Well, I know it had been for probably since about the mid-month. The last normal pulse rate that I recorded on my BP cuff was on the 13th. That was normal. But I know shortly after that I was feeling lightheaded, and at any rate, finally my wife virtually forced me to go to my GP on the morning of the 24th, and he diagnosed me as having a cardiac blockage that he said the ventricles were only beating every other beat, mm-hmm. and that he sent me to the ER at the hospital, and they before the day was out, I walked out at 8 o'clock that evening with a pacemaker, which right. was great shock to me, and my curiosity has been stimulated as to what on earth would suddenly make. I've never had cardiac problems whatsoever in my life. I've always been healthy, save a little bit of moderate asthma. But what I think has happened, I'm looking back in my calendar, on the 20th, I had a doctor's or a dentist appointment. They extracted a molar, which had a cap on it and so forth. It had been giving me a problem since about the middle of the month. And it was starting to hurt, which probably means an infection, I'm guessing. And that is the only event that I can tie to what kicked off. The start of that hurting was about the time that the pulse rate dropped to half.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you're wanting to know what the connection is, if any. All right.
Yes. Is it possible that there was a connection? They extracted the tooth on the 20th, but the pulse rate did not come back. I mean, they treated it with of course, the standard antibiotics and so forth. I was having an implant put in, but
okay. I don't think that they are directly related. I know it's frustrating that you're going along and you're having no cardiovascular disease or symptoms of any kind, and then suddenly they develop. But that's the old adage that, you know, people are healthy until they aren't. Oops, I hear music. Okay, sit tight through this commercial. We're going to talk about how people develop these bundle branch blocks and the intermittent rates when we get back, okay? So
okay, right, need back. To take a quick break. We'll be back with the answer to that question and maybe your question as well. It's call us at 206-644-6006. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Leading Edge. Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Call in your questions for the doctors at 206-644-6006. We've got Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and Dr. Brazel all in studio ready to take your call. Before the break, Jack was telling us about some problems with his pulse rate dropping, and you had some ideas about that, Dr. Mixon.
Yeah, well, and basically, I think you've used those vessels a long, long time. You know, we have these large vessels. Biggest vessel in our body is the aorta. That's where the heart pumps, and this great big vessel comes up and it goes down our left, slightly to the left side. And every other blood vessel in our body, including those in the heart, come off that aorta. And so vessel gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until finally we get down to what we refer to as the microcirculation. And these are blood vessels that are so tiny that the red blood cells go through in single file. Okay, they just line up and make their way through. In the heart, we're very good at looking at the big vessels, the great big ones that if they clot, you're going to shut down the blood supply to a big piece of heart and then you have a heart attack. But equally important are these microvascular vessels, the tiny, tiny ones that go all the way through all of that heart muscle and that control the AV node and the SA node. These are the nodes that actually have autorhythmicity. They fire electrically, automatically, and they're the ones that set our heart rhythm. But when they fire, then it has the impulse has to go down through a little, almost looking like a spider wave of tiny blood, of tiny nerve fibers that carry the impulse in an organized fashion across the heart. So the heart contracts in a nice rhythmic fashion from bottom to the top and forcing that blood out. Those tiny, tiny vessels go bad first. Just because they're so tiny. They are the diameter of one red blood cell. And it takes almost nothing to plug them up. And you've just used those tiny vessels for 80, how many years now? 80-something years?
88.
88 years, yeah. And so enough of them have now plugged off that those nodes in the heart that make the rhythm have gotten starved for blood supply. So, and these vessels are too small for us to do any grafting or that sort of thing. And it just, you know, it happens. You live long enough, sooner or later, something happens. The good news, it's not going to kill you, and you got a pacemaker, and that pacemaker battery is going to probably last close to 10 years. And then you replace it 10 years from now when you're 98, get another 10 years out of it. So, I think
that sounds good to me.
Yeah, no reason to panic. But there's really nothing specific we can do, except some of the little things we were talking about during the commercial in a totally different context, and that is, we try to keep as many of your tiny blood vessels open as much as we possibly can, and there are some medications that are normally used for erectile disorder, but that actually help to open up every little blood vessel in your body, including those tiny, tiny ones. And those are things like tadalafil, which most people think of as an ED drug, but it's also a drug that folks like me use because it opens all my blood vessels, including those to my muscles and my heart, and they let me run faster and lift more. And I'd say most older guys would probably do well with tadalafil.
Well, I have been taking 10 milligrams daily of tadalafil ever since I heard you recommending it back, which was probably at least a year. I was taking 5 milligrams, and then probably in the last 6 months I've upped it to 10.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to do the things that I know to do.
Good. Okay. Yeah, and then keep as much physical activity as you reasonably can. Again, working muscle produces things that help you to heal and grow and repair nerve fibers. And it's the nerve fibers in your heart and in your brain, in your spinal cord, in your arms and legs. You want to do well. That brain-derived neurotrophic factors. It's kind of funny. We call it brain-derived, but it's actually produced mostly in working muscle, not in the brain. Okay, we called it brain-derived neurotrophic factors because we discovered it in the brain first. But then it turns out that's not where it's made. It's made in your muscles. So I want you to be as physically active as you reasonably can, as long in your life as you can, because working muscle produces more than 300 different compounds that help you to heal and repair and grow new tissue. And that's the key to staying alive and active as long as possible. That
Thank you for that explanation. That puts me on a rational track, which is what I had hoped you would do.
Well, good.
My former thought about connected to my dental work wasn't the case.
Not likely.
So I thank you for the better explanation.
All right. You take care, sir, and keep moving. Okay?
All right.
As long as you're on your feet and jogging down the road, you ain't dead yet. So keep it up. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Jack. That opens up a line for you. If you're listening today with your medical question, 206-644-6006. Let's move on to Ray in Woodinville with a question about a prostate procedure. Ray, what's your question?
Oh, am I on?
You're on.
Okay, because it just dropped off and I had to redial this.
Oops. Okay.
The engineer said it was his fault. Hey,
you're with us now.
The prostate. Hello?
No, go ahead. The prostate does what?
Last week or a week before, you mentioned somebody called up about having doctors that are agreeable to the stuff that you do, and you're going to put a list up in your clinics. Can anybody pick one of those up?
Not that I know of, but all the clinics are aware that if somebody came by, they are free to give it out.
Sure. No, it's there. You don't have to be a patient.
Make one up and
No, we have one.
We have one.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. No, we have one. And it's each of the clinics have the list, and it's real simple. You just tell the folks at the front desk you want it.
These would be primary care providers.
Can I buy the relief factor there, too?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you can.
These aren't doctors doing what we do, though. These are doctors that will not talk you out of what we're doing.
No, and that's the point.
Right.
They were talking about wanting to find a primary care physician was amenable to working with us.
That was updated earlier this year.
Good.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, perfect. Thanks. I'll stop by the Kirkland one.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. You had a doctor on a week ago about the prostate and that procedure that you use.
Yes, Dr. Pentland.
So is that, like, I think he said it was $1,800. Is that
$1,800? No, it's not.
How much is it?
I don't remember how much it is, but it's not nearly, or maybe it is, actually.
Well,
for
the
BPH. I listened to the podcast just a couple days ago.
Yeah, actually, you're right. It is about that much.
$300 each. And for six sessions is $1,800. So I just wondered, do I pay the $300 each week, or do I pay the $1,800 up front?
You know what? I have no idea.
I don't know either. I'm so sorry. But if you are coming to Kirkland to pick up the list and the relief factor, why don't you ask them?
They can look it up. They've got it on the computer.
And Dr. Pentland has a few more patients that he's working on right now, actually, and he'll be on with us next weekend.
And they're set up as a series. You don't book them one at a time. They book you out for one or two week intervals in a row so that you get the maximal benefit for timing.
Yeah. But my guess is with most of our procedures, if you do them all up front, there's a little bit of a discount.
There's a
discount if they all paid in advance. Otherwise, if it's six treatments, then they'll do it in payments as you go.
But it's a good question. I will find
it
out.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm afraid. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'll find out, though.
Okay.
See, we know that medicine, not the money.
I know. And I had forgotten how much we charge for it too. But thank you for reminding me. But yeah, I will definitely find out what the procedure is. Okay.
So another question is you know, anatomy, right? So this device is actually for ED. So where do they place this device on a guy that's going to be able to reach the prostate?
It's on the perineum, right just behind your testicles, where it's called there's a root actually for the penis that starts way up in the inside the perineum where it doesn't show, but it's back behind the penis, behind the testicles a little bit on the center of the perineum, and that's pretty much where the prostate's located.
Okay. Hey, Dr. Mason, can I ask you a question about the Resume and the lift procedure?
You can, but the music says we got to take a short break, but you sit tight. When we come back, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk to you in just a moment. Call in your questions now as well, 206-644-6006. Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic. We'll be back here in just a few moments. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics, 206-644-6006. The number to call. Have several people standing by online, finishing up a call with Ray in Woodville about a prostate procedure. And
What did you want to know about the prostate procedures? Which ones?
Well, I'm not complaining or criticizing here, but you said Resume's really good. And I've gone to two urologists, one in Bellevue. I'm not going to name them or their clinics. One in Bellevue, right. And he did a cystoscopy on me, and holy cow, that was almost as painful as a kidney stone. And
oh
so
my goodness.
He told me about the Resume not being any painful, very painful. I doubted him, so I just wanted to go see somebody else. So I went to somebody in the Evergreen Center there. And he discouraged me from getting Resume because he says it's like hitting your leg with a baseball bat. You have a lot of swelling, and then there's a lot of stuff that comes up, and he says that there's a 10% chance that you're going to have a permanent pain for the rest of your life. And he said that the lip procedure, and he's done hundreds or thousands of these, he said, you know. There's only a couple people in the area that I found that actually do the Resume, and and so I'm just wondering, you know, what is this lip procedure, and what do you think about that?
I'm not sure exactly what he's talking about.
Well,
lip?
Well, lift, maybe Eurolift?
Eurolift.
Yeah. Eurolift, that's the thing,
Eurolift, okay. Yeah, that one I know. I thought you were saying lip, L-I-P. I don't know what that lip is.
No. It's some kind of thing like a... He said it was like kind of like those tags they use in clothing.
Yeah.
There's an end on each side
staples.
Of them?
Staples.
They are kind of like staples, but it's kind of an odd shape. What they do is they poke a hole through the prostate all the way through to the other side, and then there's a little bar that comes out. It kind of anchors one end of it, and then there's another bar on the front side inside the urethra, and they squish the prostate enough to open the channel. And they have to put several of those in kind of around the channel in order to get enough to open it up. I have not been overly impressed with the Eurolift. It works for some folks, that's true. But again, the patients that I am aware of and the literature seems to say that it has a more limited utility. You know, one of the problems,
like time-wise?
Yeah, time-wise, that things are still growing. And actually, you've now got foreign bodies that are sitting there in the prostate and in the urethra. And that always worries me when I've got more foreign bodies in there, especially when it's something connected to the outside where you can get infections. It just raises my anxiety level as a physician for long-term safety. One thing you have to realize about doctors is that they are human beings, and whatever they do for a living, they think is better than what other people do for a living. Okay. Doctors who use one technique a lot, they do it because they like it, because they're good at it, because they're comfortable with it, and they think their way of doing it is better than the other guy's way of doing it. I don't do any of these things. All I do is read the literature and see what the statistics are.
Right. Have you read about 10% of people experiencing
No, I have not. In
eternal
fact,
pain. Eternal
no,
pain.
No, I have not.
Lifelong pain.
I haven't. I mean, I now that you've brought that up as, you know, as a caution, I will definitely do a literature search on it this afternoon and see if anybody is actually reporting that. But my guesstimate is this particular fellow has had some bad results, and that colors his evaluation of the procedures. You know, right. For instance, let me give you an example. Years ago when I was a country doc, they brought out a new antibiotic. And it, as all of the new antibiotics, it was the greatest thing since, you know, sex and life spread. I mean, it just was wonderful. It killed all the bad stuff and left the good stuff. And so I had an elderly gentleman come in, and I had some samples, and I said, well, I've got this brand new whiz-bang infection or medication, and we're going to use it to clear up your infection. And I gave it to him, and he take his first pill, and that night he was in the intensive care unit with pulmonary edema and damn near died. It was 6 months before I wrote that drug again. Because I had such a bad result with my first one. Mm-hmm. All right. And, you know, we physicians, being human beings and being fallible creatures, we are subject to bias based on our personal experiences. And our personal experiences, especially when we're still new in a procedure and don't have a lot of experience, tend to get skewed by our early results when we're the least good at doing it. Right. So I'll look. Give me a call next week before you do anything, and I'll give you what the national and worldwide data on it is. Okay.
Okay. Well, I really think that what you're offering is going to be my first choice. So, right. I mean, but it's not covered by anything. But you know, I mean, it from what you've said, it's not very painful, and that one doctor, he said he had that one man that had a really improvement. That's mm-hmm. all I'm looking for, is, you know.
Yeah, but you realize numbers.
I'm doing the progesterone to help keep the prostate from growing.
Good.
You know, okay. I take the lycopene and supplemental for what good they may be.
All right. Well, no, but they're decent. Yeah, they help a fair number of people. So those are good things. But recognize our numbers with this are still fairly low because it's something we've just started. So far, right. our results right. have been really good, you know.
Right. Are you a patient at our clinic, or are you seeing another provider?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So we have a lot more to offer for prostate support as well to make it go better, you know, to have better results is to be healthier going in, and that's the assessment Dr. Pentland will give you.
Yeah, but Dr. Pentland will go over things. He'll give you the details, and he won't, you know, he doesn't shade them. He's a perfectly honest guy. So, you know, that's why we're always upfront about
it. Paid visit I need to have with him to do this, or do I just come in and discuss it?
I think the first evaluation is...
The evaluation is free, but he can do a treatment right there if you want to, if you decide to proceed, because they allow enough time.
Okay.
Yeah. So... Okay. Yeah,
and is he only at the Kirkland Clinic, you said?
That is correct.
Yes.
But the treatment can be offered...
I'm in the east side.
I'm
on the east side, so that's fine.
But the device does travel, and our other doctors in the other two clinics can use it. But Dr. Pentland has had the most experience with this particular treatment.
Yep.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, thank you for all the information.
Okay, welcome, Ray. Sir. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
Moving
Bye-bye.
On to Steve in Redmond with a question. Steve, what's your question for the doctors today? Steve in Redmond.
I recently had my tadalafil increased from 5 milligrams a day to 15 milligrams a day. Wow. But what I discovered was that in ordering the 10 milligram tabs, there is a nationwide shortage, and they suggested that I ask my doctors to prescribe enough 5 to accommodate that change in prescription. Is that something that my doctors would be willing to do?
They probably would. Sure. Okay. Dr. Brazel's your doctor?
Yeah. I'm not allowed to confirm or deny that. So one of the problems we've been having, of course, is so tadalafil is a wonderful drug. A lot of our patients are taking it prophylactically for blood vessel support. And we use a coupon service called GoodRx to get our patients the best price. They no longer have to go to Canada. And the two least expensive places right now to get tadalafil have been, for a while, Costco and Safeway. Mm-hmm. And Safeway has been out of the 5 and 10 milligram dose for a while, and we've had to either send them to a new pharmacy or reissue a different dose, which is now also getting back ordered. We can probably fulfill this at Paramount for a little bit more cost. I don't think it's out of stock everywhere, but the price goes up by sections. So I think if you're saving the most money, those are the places that have been driving the biggest business. So we've had to redirect people to just another pharmacy for a mm-hmm. while until the supply catches up, yeah. rather than getting put on a different one. But if you have a personal request for me to change your prescription, I'll see it on Monday and give you a call.
Oh, yeah. You've always been good about that, and I appreciate you. You can't believe. But also, go ahead. I had a quick question because – you know, a lot of times you guys bring up things that you're doing that are just absolutely wonderful, and I get all excited to set her. Then I go on in and say, "Oh yeah, but I have a pacemaker." Oh, you can't do that.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I had Dr. Nelson do a stem cell on my right shoulder, and at the end of that, he did something called the X, which was an acoustical sound thing, which was less than 12 inches from my defibrillator. And we did 4 sessions of that. And, man, I tell you, I said, now, how can I do that, but I can't do the other that's way down below my belly, you know, with that Verdex or whatever the sound wave thing is for the for the ED. And
I'm sure
is it such a powerful, what's a powerful sound wave that can mess with that defibrillator or what?
No, here's the issue, okay, is that the company that manufactures it has not had it approved to use with pacemakers. So they haven't done the studies with the FDA to approve it. And so the default position is, if we don't have approval from the FDA, you don't do it. The reality is, it may well be perfectly safe. If I had to bet, you know, and in fact, quite frankly, if I had to have my prostate done and I had a pacemaker, well, see, I know I won't sue me. So
unfortunately, we don't
I'd go ahead and do
the
that.
Office.
But for medical legal reasons, we play it cautious and we only do what the FDA will approve of. All right.
Okay, got to take a break. Back with more of Leading Edge Medicine here in just a moment. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. All the doctors in studio today, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and also Dr. Brazel, taking your calls. I think we've probably got a few more people on the line here already, so I don't know if we can fit in any more calls. So let's try and get to these people.
We only got 9 minutes left.
Let's move on to Mary in Tacoma. Mary, what is your question for the doctors?
Well, I've had that lichen sclerosis for a long time, and it seems like it's gotten worse, but nobody knows the answer why I have it, how long I'll have it, what it will do to me, the side effects, the bad effects. There's nothing good about it, but can you give me some encouragement with it? That's
who wants
about
to take
it. I don't know. There's nothing good about it at all.
No.
I think the standard treatment is the clobetasol topical, and that's about the only thing I know works.
Yep.
There's no natural stuff. Yeah, I don't think there's any natural treatment that I've seen work in my years of practice. It's painful and annoying.
Mm-hmm. How about somebody said surgery? Is there any kind of surgery to correct it?
To get rid of it? Well, you know, I mean, most of the time in women, it tends to make this white, wrinkly skin. It's most common down around, you know, your vulva, your female organs down there.
Right. And,
Other than itching, you're not having pain with it, are you?
No. It's not pain until I touch it. Then I want to itch it and scratch it. I was going to pull it out. It's just madness.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know of any surgical procedure.
That's usually dermatology if it's in the genital region. Unfortunately, I haven't seen much promise on a treatment for it other than remove irritants. So if there's other, like maybe
lotion. Well, what
brings
it on?
It's an autoimmune skin condition. So there's a genetic predisposition brought on a environmental trigger. And so make sure that your lotions, any cleaning products you use on your skin and your detergents, anything with perfume, get rid of that stuff. Clean that up so there's less irritation.
This is kind of odd because the primary places for this is around the anus and the vulva on women.
Or in the mouth.
And the head of the penis on men.
Yeah.
So it seems to have a predilection for, you know, for the genitalia, which is kind of odd as an autoimmune disease. I would, you know, I wonder what there is about those particular tissues that have a protein set that seems to be, I don't know, most common for this particular autoimmune.
It's just very thin skin, the mucosal skin. So it's probably chronic irritation over time and then dryness from hormonal decline.
Mayhap.
Yeah, and remember to avoid any irritants. Do you take bubble baths or?
No, I don't do it. Water and hot water, warm water and.
Okay. Remember to keep in touch with your doctor because there's a small percentage that it can become cancer, okay?
Yeah. How about drainage from it?
It shouldn't be filling up.
No,
it should not be draining.
Yeah. But, you know, hormonal deficiency is a cause, so that might be something to think about. I know that most doctors will probably frown upon it as you get past 70. But definitely a possibility.
Well, yeah, as long as you're looking at hormonal deficiency as being part of it, what about just a topical estriol?
Estriol. Local application.
Yeah. Right.
Minimal results. I haven't seen it make a huge difference, mild symptom reduction, but stopping the autoimmune component is really the steroid. So maybe they don't have you on a strong enough dose, or maybe it isn't actually correctly diagnosed. It might be
possibilities, yeah.
Well, the doctor in the clinic, should he help?
We can't do that here. You'd have to get a biopsy, and that's either gynecology or dermatology that'll have to do that.
Okay.
And that's painful in itself.
I'm seeing a gynecologist on this, so maybe I should ask her.
Yeah. Definitely follow up.
Yeah, and especially if it's draining. It's not catching. No one's going to catch it from you, and you didn't catch it from anyone else.
Yeah. All right? Too bad I can't give it away then.
That's right. Well, tell you what, pick your favorite politician, mail it to him. So.
No.
I'll let you go. Maybe there's room for one more call. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Mary. Got time for one quick talk with Lee in Mount Vernon. What's your question for the doctors, Lee?
Hey, what was the four-part or one-payment treatment called again on the perineum?
What? I think it's the Viasure for the prostate. It's usually a 6 series, but I think there might be an option for a 3 series and 6 series.
Viasure?
V-I-A-S-U-R-E, Viasure.
Okay. Yeah. And what is it?
Well, it's basically a focused sound wave therapy.
Sound wave therapy. Okay.
But they actually focus it down into the prostate, and it causes to decrease the inflammation and swelling and helps to rejuvenate some of the tissues.
Some of the growth factors get stimulated.
Okay.
And then you call the local office that's to you, Linwood, Kirkland, or Tacoma, and then you can set up an appointment with consultation. All of the male doctors at the clinics are able to do assessment and treatment.
Have you heard of Moringa?
Oh, the herb?
Yeah.
Yes.
The miracle herb that's supposed to cure everything and just put it in your morning shake?
I see.
I've been paying attention to pelvic floor nurse and also urologist on the internet, and I actually bought the capsules because I was getting the runs by taking the powder. So I've been doing it for 3 weeks. I've been on the 5 milligrams of tadalafil for about 2.5 years or so. Uh-huh. And I've completely stopped calfing, and my stream is really doing good. I'm going to go in for a PSA test here pretty soon based on all of the information that's out there on the use of Moringa. But in my particular case, it's no BS. I know a lot of people just are totally against all different kinds of natural health remedies, and I've been on natural health remedies for my whole entire life. One more thing I'd like to say to Ray, if you're still listening, do all the research that you possibly can do about prostate treatments. I've been looking and watching them and talking about them for years. Dr. Nixon, you know who I am. And my first experience with a cysto was with a urologist in Bellingham about 4 years ago or so, and it was the most excruciating thing I had. My other urologist at Swedish, I didn't even know the treatment was happening. I was really paranoid, and before I knew it, it was in and out, and it was done and over with. So check out Swedish.
We're out of time. They're going to throw us off the air here in about 3 seconds. So.
Thanks, Lee. Another great edition of Leading Edge Medicine. Be sure and call in for your free healthcare analysis, health analysis appointment at 1-866-86-YOUNG. You can also find out more at lmclinic.com. And see you again next week for another edition of Leading Edge Medicine.